Welcome back into Sports Night, and now we're pleased to be joined by Andrea Adelson, who covers the ACC for ESPN.com. Now, Andrea, starting off with Syracuse, how would you assess the Orange's first season in the ACC thus far?
Well, I think it's tough to assess at this point because we've seen good Syracuse and we've seen bad Syracuse, and it seems to alternate week to week, guys. So for me, it's still kind of hard to get a gauge on whether this is a bowl team. I think that's part of the reason why we don't have them in the bowl projections yet. They go from a complete beatdown against Clemson to then having a pretty dominant performance on the road in a very tough place to play at NC State. So what I'm looking for is just a little bit more consistency out of this team, particularly out of Terrell Hunt. And I think a lot of people are looking for that at this point, because he looked good against the lesser competition, but now that they're in ACC play, he really hasn't done a whole heck of a lot, not much more than Drew Allen. So at this point, I still think Syracuse is a wild card, at least in my mind.
Talking ACC football with Andrea Adelson of ESPN.com here on Sports Night. Now, Andrea, one of the strong points for Syracuse's team this year has been the running game. Last year, they ran for over 350 yards on the ground. But that certainly seems to be a predictable part of the Syracuse offense. Can you realistically expect the Syracuse running game to handle the heavy load, considering that's all they really like to do, and considering the fact that their passing game does seem a little bit weak at this point?
Well, it worked last week against NC State, and I guess they only really needed to work three more times to become bowl eligible. But certainly, I don't think anybody at Syracuse wants this to be a running-only team. You're not going to be able to win double-digit teams when you're that predictable and when you can only do one thing. And so they've got to get much more out of that passing game to be able to do different things, keep defenses a little bit more off balance, maybe sprinkle in some play action just to be able to create something different. Because at this point, you know, people are expecting Syracuse to run the ball. And I think teams are going to be able to adjust accordingly based on that. But, you know, the other side of it is, well, if you're able to run for, you know, over 700 yards in the last two games and go 1-1, one of them being against a top five team in the country, well, you know, maybe that does work against the rest of the teams that are on the schedule. Because when you look at it, yeah, they still have Florida State, but the other games are all winnable games, guys. So, you know, obviously you want to get the pass game going. But at this point, if the bread and butter is going to be the run game, and if they're able to continue to do that, then obviously that's what they're going to have to do to win games.
Andrea, obviously a huge part of Syracuse's move to the ACC was to build up the program to where it had been in previous decades. Huge part of that is recruiting. While we might not see it in the first couple of years, how much of a bump in recruiting and the caliber of athletes Syracuse brings in can we expect with the transition to the ACC?
Well, I think that's still yet to be determined. You know, when you look at some of the recruiting rankings that our folks over at the ESPN Recruiting Nation have done, Syracuse hasn't really made inroads into the top five or even the top ten at this point among ACC programs. I think it's just going to take a little bit of time for Syracuse to be able to do that. Now, obviously, they have recruited a little bit more into the South. I know Coach Scott Schaefer has talked a little bit about that, and that is a necessity when you have to compete in your own division against teams like Florida State and Clemson that have the speed and the type of athletes that come out of the South. That is their main recruiting ground. So if you have any designs on winning an ACC championship, you kind of have to follow along with what Florida State and Clemson have done in terms of the recruiting. They've got to get some athletes and some speed in there. But also, when you look at those two teams, they're extremely physical as well, and they've got physical athletes from the South. Now, I'm not saying every single player is going to come from the South into Syracuse, but realistically, they've got to do a better job going down into there, and I still think that remains to be seen. The other thing is, I think Syracuse is going to get a bump with some of the new facilities that they're going to be improving and building, because it's an arms race at this point. And if you're trying to compete against other ACC schools, you want to at least be somewhat close with your facilities, because that's what it comes down to a lot of times when these guys are making their decisions about where they want to go to school.
We're pleased to be joined by Andrea Adelson, who covers the ACC for ESPN.com. Now, Andrea, switching gears a little bit from Syracuse now to ACC in general, one of the teams in the ACC that's had a resurgent year, Maryland. Last year, they won a total of 4 games while using 5 quarterbacks. This year, they have quarterback C.J. Brown, albeit he did miss last week due to a concussion. How big has C.J. Brown been in Maryland's resurgence this season?
I think he's one of the biggest, if not the biggest reason for the resurgence because of exactly what you said. Last year, Maryland actually had a pretty decent defense for most of the year. Actually, for the first half of the year, they were right there with Florida State at the top of the league, but they had no quarterback, and they ended up playing a linebacker at quarterback at the end of the year because they had so many injuries to that position, and that obviously puts your defense in just a difficult spot because your offense can't sustain drives, they can't score points, your defense is out there way too much, and so that's kind of how the bottom fell out for Maryland last year. So this year, having a quarterback who is one of the top in the ACC in terms of total offense, he can both run and pass, and that's been the huge big difference for Maryland, because defensively they lost a lot of guys off their team last year, but they're still able to be pretty good. Let's not take into account that Florida State game in terms of being pretty good. In most of the other games, they've held their own. So having that quarterback has obviously, I think, made everybody, both offense and defense, better, because now you can do so many different things. You can sustain drives. You can help your defense out a little bit. And that's why I think Maryland is on the verge and going to be bowl eligible here in the next couple of weeks.
Andrea, it appears that the U is back, as the Hurricanes have snuck into the top 10 for the first time since 2009. In your opinion, what's been the biggest key to that program's resurgence?
Well, I think snuck in is right. We'll see if they're still in the top 10 after that performance on Thursday night. But to me, the biggest key has been the maturity and the growth of this team. They're essentially playing with just about everybody that they had a year ago, but they were freshmen and sophomores a year ago, most of them anyway. Very inexperienced. They had to learn how to win. I mean, when you're talking about playing freshmen and sophomores on defense, on that defense last year, which was one of the worst in the entire country, half the time they didn't know what they were supposed to be doing on the field. But that's completely different this year. The defense is a lot better. And actually, the defense has played a lot more consistently this year than the offense has. And I think you're just seeing that because of the maturity and the growth. You got guys out there who have been in the system now, who have played a lot of games and know what they're doing when they step on the field. So to me, and I know Coach Al Golden has talked a lot about this, that's the big difference. Last year, Miami lost its close games. This year, it's finding a way to win these close games, to win when they're trailing and when they're behind. They just know how to win now, and I think it took last year for them to get to this point.
Jared Lees, Matt Appel here with you on Sports Night, talking ACC football with Andrea Adelson of ESPN.com. Now, Andrea, it's really a good time to be in the ACC right now. 3 top 10 teams in the ACC for the first time since 2005. Certainly heavy strides for that conference. Is it safe to say that the ACC is on the same level as the SEC right now?
Well, I don't know if you can say they're on the same level right now, because we're only at the midway point of the season. I think you can say you're on the same level with them when you start winning national championships. And that's something that the ACC trails far behind the SEC at this point. So that would be the distinction for me. Now, when you look at the numbers and the teams, yeah, both of them have the same number of teams in the top 10. The SEC, though, has more teams ranked in the top 25. And I think they're just better as a conference overall from top to bottom. And you've still got teams in the ACC at the bottom that just really don't have any shot at competing with the top of the league. So from that perspective, I still think they're behind the SEC. Now, if they can continue to make the strides that they've made in the first half of the year, if they can win their rivalry games, the big rivalry games at the end of the season, Georgia against Georgia Tech, Florida State against Florida, Clemson, South Carolina, if they can get into a national championship game, then I think we can start really taking a look at the conferences and seeing if the ACC has closed the gap a little bit. But I just think midway through the season, it's too early to make judgments like that.
Andrea, the entire college football world has had its eyes this week in Death Valley for this game between Clemson and Florida State. For Florida State, you mentioned earlier, it all comes down to Jameis Winston, who's had so much hype around him this season. In your opinion, is he the real deal? Is he as good as everyone says he is?
Yes. I actually think he's better than everyone says he is. I saw him in person in the opener against Pitt. We're talking about his first game ever as a college player when you mentioned all that hype and all the expectations and the nickname he already had, Famous Jameis, and people predicting he's going to win a Heisman and be the next Charlie Ward, be better than Charlie Ward. And he came out there and he had one of the best games, single games in Florida State history, probably in college football history when you look at his completion percentage. To me, I was completely astounded. I knew what his legend was, but actually being able to see somebody go out there and execute at the level that he's been able to execute at with only a handful of games under his belt, I think speaks volumes for who he is, what kind of talent he is, what kind of worker he is, and how competitive he is and how badly he wants this. And I don't think if he has a bad game against Clemson, I'm going to change my opinion on that. Every quarterback's entitled to a bad game, but I do believe he's got the skill set that is going to make him somebody who will be in New York at that Heisman ceremony, if not this year, then next year. I truly believe in what he's done so far this season.
Now, Andrew, while Jameis Winston's really had a breakout performance this year, a guy who we're a little bit familiar up here in Syracuse when Taj Boyd really carved up that Syracuse defense, he's a senior. He's really been there. He's done it all. Is there anything really left to prove in tomorrow night's game for Taj Boyd to prove maybe he is a legitimate Heisman candidate that everyone thinks he is?
Yeah, he has to win, guys. He lost to Florida State last year, and he came back to win the ACC and win a national championship. And if he loses, then most likely ACC and national championship hopes are out the window. So I think there's a lot more on the line for Taj Boyd than Jameis Winston in this game. It's his legacy, so to speak. When you look at the biggest games on the schedule, Florida State and South Carolina, he's never beaten South Carolina, and he's 1-1 against Florida State. So he really needs this game legitimize Clemson, I think, and also for himself, for people to say, okay, here's the guy who stepped up in the most meaningful game. And Georgia was a meaningful game. The bowl game was a meaningful game, but not nearly as meaningful as this one. This game that can get Clemson to an ACC championship game, that can potentially get them into a national championship game, and get them to places they haven't been to in 30 years. I just think he has to win this game in order for people to look at him and to truly believe that he has been somebody who can win big games and get Clemson championships.
All right, Andrea, before we let you go, we're going to ask for a little bit of a prediction. How do you ultimately see tomorrow night's game between Florida State and Clemson playing out? Who do you see winning that game?
I pick Clemson to win for two main reasons. I think Florida State wins a lot of the matchups on the field. But first of all, Death Valley is an extremely difficult place to play. And next year, Syracuse will be able to see that firsthand. And a night game, the atmosphere is going to be louder and crazier than it was for Georgia. And I think the home field really helped Clemson win that game. Florida State hasn't won in Death Valley since 2001. And this is a team that plays a lot better at home than on the road, traditionally anyway. So that to me is going to be a factor in the game. And the second one, as I just mentioned, is Taj. I think he's ready for this moment. He's been now, this is his fourth game against a top 10 team in the last nine. He's won two of those, the last two, against LSU and against Georgia. This is why he came back, and I think his veteran leadership, the fact that he's been in these games before, he's going to do everything it takes to get Clemson the win. He's going to put this team on his back. He's going to run. He's going to throw. I just think that he is going to give Clemson the edge in this game, and I think Clemson wins an extremely close game.
That is Andrea Adelson, who does a great job of covering ACC football for ESPN.com. Andrea, thanks for a couple minutes. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.